Good morning, everyone. During announcements in first service, I was sitting backstage angry when Ellen said first Colossians, that nobody had caught it. All of our team who have gone to Bible school, and in fact, Ellen has a master's degree from a Christian university. First Colossians, we'll just throw it out there. There is no first, there's Colossians. So City School is for Colossians, not First Colossians. You can sign up for that. Anyway, our team is biblically literate, I promise. One other announcement before we jump in to the message this morning. Water baptism coming up March 17th. If you have never been water baptized, if you are a follower of Jesus, this is the next biblical step for you. Biblical obedient following after Jesus and the waters of baptism. So it's you declaring your faith, going public with your faith. What we do when we water baptize you is you go under the water, you're showing that you identify identify with Christ, that your sins are washed away. When you come up out of the water, you're showing you're risen to new life in Christ. So if you've never done that, we encourage you to sign up for that. If you were water baptized as a child, thank God for your parents' faith, but now this is your decision. You going public with your faith doesn't undo something that your parents did with you as a child. So let me encourage you that you now are declaring that you follow Jesus. And I know in the past, sometimes people have been nervous, unsure about water baptism. You still have a couple weeks to sign up. We promise George will bring you back up out of the water. You don't have to be afraid, and it's a great testimony of your faith in Christ. All right, so you can sign up for that at Info Desk and also on the website. All right, we are talking about identity in this series that we have called True Image. And when we think about identity, it's a big subject. It's big ideas in the world right now as it relates to the topic of identity. And thank God we have answers in the Word of God. Before that, this problem was already introduced in the world. A lot of confusion around the subject of identity and what it would mean for us and how do I identify and all these different terms. But thank God, God has answers for us. God has ways for us to think as it relates to our relationship with Him. And we think about the word identity, it really is just who you are. It's your memories, your experiences, your relationships, your values, the characteristics that determine who a person is. Now, again, some of the things as it relates to our identity, we didn't choose. And so we have, you know, some hurt and some difficulty in our past, which is true for all of us, could cause us to think a certain way. But we have to intentionally choose the identity that God is offering to us. Because again, on offer to us in the world today, there's a lot of other things being offered to us as it relates to our identity. And we think about our identity, what we identify as or with becomes the foundation of our lives. Becomes the foundation of who we are and how we process through all of life. So we wanna think about and understand different ways of thinking. Again, we're just showing and describing different philosophies. Philosophies are just ways of thinking, branches of thought. And again, historically, it's interesting to go through and see different philosophers and their ways of thinking and how those ways of thinking showed up in society and governments and history. It's good to know that and be aware of that. But we can get caught up in philosophies, specifically the philosophy of our culture. Again, it's very strong. It's very overreaching. It's very involved in every area of our life in the sense of media and news and social media and all of this different thing. These ways of thinking as it relates to identity is very easy for us to get caught up into it. But we want to think biblically. We want to think according to what God would say to us about the Word of God. So let's start here in the book of Colossians, or some might say 1 Colossians, chapter 2, verse 6. I mean, it really is 1 Colossians. So, you know, you just brought up something new and exciting. Colossians 2, verse 6 says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So again, for those of us that follow Jesus, what do we need to do? We need to be rooted in Christ. So we're gonna receive from Him what He says about our lives, who He says we are. We're saying it this morning. I am a child of God. Not something else, I'm a child of God. And so we receive Christ, we say yes to Jesus. Now, this doesn't just mean that our destiny is changed from hell to heaven, that I'm going to be with God forever, for eternity. There's something else as it relates to being rooted into Christ that's changing everything about my life. Now, it says here in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy. And again, this contemporary way, this way of thinking as in the world, again, all of this discussion about identity, it's just a philosophy. It's just on offer to us in the world. It's a branch of thinking. But God has an answer for us. We don't want to be taken captive by the philosophies and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of this world, or the spirit of the age, the spirit of the moment. And again, if you go back and look in history, different decades, different centuries, there's ways of thinking in different times, in different seasons. We could study that, ways of the world, the spirit of the age of that moment. But here for the church, for those of us that follow Jesus, we have this moment that we're living in. So we need to know what it is so that we don't get captivated by it. We don't allow it to capture our thinking and think according to the ways of the world. And then it finishes up, says, and not according to Christ. Walk, we say yes to Jesus, that we would be have our foundation in Christ. And then there's a bunch of ways of thinking. And then what we're going to judge those ways of thinking against is it's not according to Christ, or it's not according to the ways of God. What does God say about the subject of identity? Because I want to adopt that. I don't want to adopt the spirit of the age of the moment, because what's being said about identity today is not going to be the same thing that's said about identity 50 years from now. It's going to be a whole new thing. And there's going to be a whole new problem out in the world. And the preachers 60 years from now are going to get up and they're going to read this verse and they're going to say, let's not get caught up in the philosophy of the age. Thank God for the word of God. But here, our moment, this time, this is a big thing. It's a strong thing in the world that we live in. So we need to be aware of the counterfeit. Something that's not real, something that's not good, something that's not true. We need to be aware of the counterfeit so we don't subscribe to it, that we don't say yes to it, we don't adopt it, we adopt the ways of Christ. So we want to find our identity in Christ. We don't want to adopt some contemporary way of thinking. And again, the cultural moment that we are living in, the philosophies of the time sound a little bit like this. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but it's kind of like this. Be your true self. Express yourself. Be your authentic self. Whatever you feel is who you are. What's your truth? And then the opposite side, when you say something that people don't like, they call you anti, or they call you phobic, or they call you hateful when you disagree. Now, but it's okay to disagree with people, but just don't be disagreeable. Are you here this morning? You could disagree with somebody, and this would actually be the way of Christ, that we would disagree with someone, that we would stay aligned with the word of God. But I'm going to disagree with you, and I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to care about you. I'm still going to buy you lunch once in a while. But I disagree. And I know the world wants to label me, identify me as hateful, phobic, anti, all these different things. But I don't accept it. I say no. I'm still going to be a loving person. I don't hate anybody. We just disagree. Are you here this morning? And again, you could disagree, without being angry, without being a mean Christian. I'm just not going to subscribe to the philosophy of the moment. I'm going to stay with the word of God. So again, there's two broad categories of how we would receive our identity in the world today. It's kind of a traditional way that we would think about identity, that somebody, your family, would tell you who you are from the outside in. They would inform you about your life and tell you who you are. And then the other way is something that's a little bit more familiar to us. It's the kind of the moment we're living, a contemporary way of discovering your identity. It's from the inside out, that you're going to decide who you are based on how you feel. And only I can decide about me. And I'm going to validate myself based on what I feel. And then everybody else needs to affirm how I think, that you're going to find truth on the inside of yourself. Now, again, as opposed to just making this the argument, what we want to do is, as we go to the word of God, the third option for us is to say, what does God say about our identity? Not just be in this discussion or agreement about contemporary and traditional ways of receiving identity. What does God say? Here's what's on offer to us in the world, but what does God's word say to us about our identity? So again, the air we breathe, the ethos of the world, is that these ideas around identity aren't to be questioned. There's a subtle imposition upon us that this is the right way to think. You can't oppose it. But there is a different way to think. And it's okay to think differently. Are you here this morning? It's okay to think differently. You don't have to be angry and hateful and mean. I'm just going to think differently. I'm going to think according to the word of God. So this third option, this biblical one, is what we want to look at in this series. Acts chapter 17, verse 28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Again, these phrases, in him, in Christ, through him, are all thoughts and ideas from the word of God around our identity. Who has God said that I am? Because that's better than somebody else just telling me or just some feeling that I would have. Because how many know your feelings change? Has anyone noticed this? Your feelings change and they're up and down. So I'm not going to decide all of my life based on a feeling I have in a moment. But God actually has something to say to me. So I want to look about in him, in Christ, through him. We should desire the image that God has for us in our lives. So the first week we talked about we're made by God, by creation, and then remade in Christ. And then last week we talked about we are the children of God, the children of light, and this is how God has identified us, that we are his children. Thank God for that. Not choosing some other identity. God is calling me when I say yes to Christ. What does he say about me? He says we are the children of God. So we're going to read a portion of scripture here from 1 Peter, kind of a familiar one. But as I was reading through some commentaries on 1 Peter, there was a very specific context that 1 Peter was written in, and it was a call to holiness in the midst of troubled times. And that would be true for us, right? We're living in troubled times in the world that we live in. But then the book of 1 Peter is written to the church, that there would be this call back. Now, what does it mean to be holy? We sang the word holy. Holy just means set apart for the purposes of God. We know that God is the ultimate holy being. But then God is calling us to be holy, set apart for his purposes. So this is the way we need to think about our identity in this time. Man, that I'm called to be holy. I'm called to be set apart from the ways of the world, ways of thinking from the world of this moment. And then the other part is that feeling the flames of persecution. Now, again, we get mild persecution here in Canada. There's some of our brothers and sisters around the world that are like facing real persecution. But there's like a mild persecution happening with Christianity here in Canada, in the West. And so sometimes we feel, again, you feel the pressure. You're just like, I just want to fit in. I don't want to have to think differently. I don't want to have to consider and every news report and every movie and everything, every thought that's being given to me, I somehow judge. It's just easier to fit in and just to go along with the ways of the world. But that actually is not the thing that we're called to do. When we feel the pressure, when we feel the persecution, we're supposed to actually lean into God. The world is descending into madness and descending into difficulties, and let's not go down, right? Let's not go down with the Titanic. Let's be like, God, what do you say? What do you say about all of these ways of thinking? And thank God, his word has the answer for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says this, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones." What does the scripture say? That if we don't praise God, what's going to happen? The rocks are going to cry out. So I don't want a rock worshiping God in my stead. I'm actually going to worship God. We are living stones, being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, set apart, holy, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So here's something about our identity, that we are this group of people offering spiritual sacrifices, that we are this holy priesthood. Let's keep reading. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame, talking about Jesus. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, talking about Jesus. That Israel was always rejecting the prophets. And so Jesus showed up, the Son of God, and rejected, crucified, but he became the cornerstone of our salvation, the cornerstone of our lives. Verse 8, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word that they were destined to do. Now, verse 9 starts out. Now, here's three major things in this verse about our identity. So if you're taking notes, write them down. You still have your dreamer's journal. It's a good thing to write in. Number one, but you are a chosen race. Have you heard anything lately about racism? Anybody live in the same world that I do? Racism is not a good thing, right? Thinking you're better or worse than somebody based on race. But here, the Word of God has the answer for racism if we would just read the Word of God. What are we? We are a chosen race. So that means that you and I, we all have brothers and sisters of different shades of melanin. Why? Because we are chosen by God. And God has chosen everybody to have a relationship with him. Some just don't choose him. And so what is our race? A chosen one. Amen. It's a better way to think, because the other way is failed. It's failed and it's failing. We are a chosen race. What's the next thing we are? A royal priesthood, not an any old priesthood, but a royal one. If you grew up Catholic, you thought you'd never make the priesthood, but you made it. And not just any old priest, you're a royal priest. Praise God. A holy nation, a people of his own possession. What kind of nation? A holy nation, set apart for the purposes of God. So here's three things about our identity. We are a chosen race in Christ. Amen? Through him, in Christ, we are a chosen race. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, because we have these three identities, what do? We proclaim the excellencies of God. We worship God. This is what we do. Because we're a chosen race, royal priesthood, a holy nation, God identifies you and me as those things. And out of that flows worship to God, that I would actually worship God. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. So it's not just me alone. It's not just me as an individual. It's all of us together. We are this group. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct amongst the Gentiles honorable. So then they speak against you as evildoers, you may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So again, verse 12, hey, what are we gonna do? We're just gonna think differently. I'm not gonna just think like everybody else. I'm not gonna adopt the philosophies of the age of the world of this moment. I'm gonna think differently. But when people speak evil against me because I think differently, what am I gonna do? We're just gonna do good things. Are you here this morning? Gonna do good things even though people speak against us. So a royal priesthood, what is this? That means we have direct access to the ultimate king. Amen. And it's not just any old priesthood again. You are a royal one, that we have access to God. Thank God that we can pray to God for ourselves. Listen, I'm happy to pray with you and agree with you in prayer, but my prayers, because I'm a pastor, are no better than your prayers. I don't have special access to God. All of us together as the family of God, we are the royal priesthood. There is no human go-between except Jesus, and that's why we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. But it's not like you have to come to me to go to God. You have direct access to the ultimate king. You are a royal priest. Amen. A holy nation set apart for the purposes of God. What are the purposes of God? We, the church, we have to live out the purposes of God, kingdom ways of thinking, not be pressured into other ways of thinking. God, what do you say? I want to be holy. I want to be set apart for you. We are the people of God. We boldly confess that we are the people of God, humbly realizing that if it wasn't for Christ, we would be lost. Man, but we boldly say we are the sons of God. But realizing humbly, it's only because of the shed blood of Jesus that we are part of the family of God. And what does it say there? That we would proclaim the excellencies of God. We would worship him. This is what a holy nation does, a royal priesthood, a chosen race. What do? We worship God. And here's the reality. All humans worship. Even the atheists or self-proclaimed atheists. Everybody worships. Everybody has something at the center of their heart and life is the highest thing. Are you here this morning? Everybody has a God. Whether it's the actual God, the creator God, or a God of their own creation. And if you think about some of the gods, small g, in the world, these ways of thinking that we are told to worship, this is the way you have to think. There's subtle anti-blasphemy laws about these ways of thinking. Have you noticed this? And it comes in the form of, you can't say that. What have you done? You've blasphemed a way of thinking. Why? Why is that said? Because that way of thinking is God's small g of this age. And so we're nervous. Does anybody know? Please give me an amen this morning. Do you know, are you living in the same world as me? Right? It's like, oh my gosh, don't say it. What is it? That's an anti-blasphemy law. You can't say that against God. What is the God? What is the God we're talking about? The God of the way of thinking. But we don't have to think that way. What and who should we worship? God, the creator God. I'm not going to worship these other things. Worship means to render honor, paying homage, adore. And worship is only reserved for God. That he is the only one worthy of our worship. It's a story here, a famous story in Exodus 32 that explains to us this principle that everybody worships. And it's this first generation of children of Israel who came out of Egyptian bondage through the Red Sea, and then Moses is up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments and all of the law, and they get impatient. Let's read about the story here in Exodus 32, verse 1. It says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to them, up, make us gods, you know, just small g, who shall go before us. As for this Moses, all of a sudden, it's not just Moses, like this Moses, forgot about the Red Sea already, forgot about the Exodus from Egypt. The man who brought us up out of the land to Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So Aaron said to them, take the rings of gold that are in your ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me. So all the people took the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, before the golden calf. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. What Lord? The Lord that they had just created. Feasting to it, worshiping it. And this is the God, small g, of this cultural moment. This discussion around identity. It's just like, you just got to honor it. You just got to say, you got to, you know, all these different things and ways. Discussion. But what is it that's true? He's like, well, you know, Pastor Brent, we're so much more sophisticated than these ancients. They're so stupid. We would never do this. We would never take our earrings, because I love my earrings. We would never take our earrings and make a golden calf, but listen to the phrase. Receive the golden calf from, verse 4, and he received the gold from the hands of their feet and fashioned it. A god of your own fashioning, a created one. And ways of thinking on offer in this moment, the philosophies of this moment, they're just created. It's just ideas fashioned by men. One of the university professors I had, I forget the name of the course I was doing, but I got the sense that this guy hated the United States. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does anyone have a professor that, like, you knew their thing like 5 minutes in? This guy hated the States. I'm like, it's fine, bro. You don't have to live there. You're Canadian. Just relax. But everything he said through the rest of the class was tainted by his disdain for the United States. A god of your own fashioning. It's a counterfeit. It's not real. It's not the God, the creator God. It's a God fashioned by human hands. And this is the same thing people do today, creating ideas and thoughts, solutions, and then it becomes this thing, the ethos in the air. And it's like a hard thing to resist. It's like, oh my gosh. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. See, worship is not just limited to the first part of our church service. What is it? It's our bodies, our whole, our life, the life that we live in obedience to the word of God is worship. I'm a living sacrifice. What did they do with the sacrifices in the Old Testament? Well, they killed them and they offered them. But here, you and I, we still get to live, but we are sacrificing our lives. We are giving our lives. We are yielding ourselves to be obedient to the word of God. And what is that? It's worship. So I don't want to obey the ways of the world and worship the world's ways of thinking. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By testing, you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. And this is our desire, to do the will of God. As followers of Jesus, God, I want to do your will. I am not my own. You bought me with a price. Just a few more verses here. Jesus, when he, after his 40-day fast, the enemy came and he tempted him. And in Luke chapter 4 here, the enemy comes and he says, you know, bow your knee. And this was Jesus' destiny, to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. And the enemy said, just bow your knee to me and I will give you everything. And again, this is the offer from the ways of thinking in the world. This way of thinking will solve all of your problems. This way of thinking, the enemy comes subtly and not so subtly sometimes. If you just bow your knee, if you just do the thing, the philosophy of the world, the ways of the enemy. And what was Jesus' response? Jesus answered him, Luke 4:8. Jesus answered, it is written. It is written is stronger and better than I feel in this moment. Because that's no way to define your life. Jesus went back to the word of God to resist the offer of the enemy. And again, the enemy doesn't even have the power to do what he promised. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So we only worship God. We don't worship ourselves. And we don't worship what other people say about us. God, what do you call me? Chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It is written. This is how he has identified us. We identify with that. We don't serve the ideas of the world. Psalm 95 verse 6 says this, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker." Psalm 145 verse 3, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." God the Father, God the Savior, God the Creator. We're called to talk about his excellencies, to worship him, to magnify him, to find out who we are based on what he says. Romans 11, 36. "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." I'm just going to read you one more verse this morning. You know, when I do a series like this, it's easy to get worked up a little bit. And be like, I hate the world. Do you know what I mean? You got to get, you know, if I was a different type of preacher, I could like, yeah, storm the gates of something. But what I would say is that as we talk about this series, we have to know that there's somebody in our family that's struggling with our identity. I don't even know how you couldn't, especially if you're younger. Because there's so much out there, like it's coming at you like gangbusters. Every screen you open, it's got something to say about it. And it's very easy to fall prey to it. And so I'm not mad at you. Church family is not mad at you. But I think God has the answer for your confusion. That you don't actually have to stay confused. That we can actually lean into the Word of God, lean into the ways that God identifies with us so that we can like get off the train ride to nowhere that the world is offering us. Isaiah 25 verse 1, it says, "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you." Again, here's the first step, the way out of the confusion. Don't worship your feelings. They're going to change. God, I exalt you. You're my creator. I'm struggling with this. I'm confused by this. But I know enough to know I didn't create myself. I exalt you. I will praise your name, not my own. Not the name of something else. "For you have done wonderful things. Plans formed of old, faithful and sure." See, this is who God is. See, the enemy will come to us like he comes to Jesus and will say, "Bow your knee. Do this way of thinking." And then all he has on promise for you on the other side is more confusion. Going the ways of the world doesn't solve the confusion in your heart. But God, who is faithful and sure, has plans formed of old. In other words, plans formed before you were born. He actually has a purpose for your life, separate from all of this confusion, separate from all of the things on offer from the world. So what would we do? What would we say? Oh, God, I exalt you. I come to you. God, I need your help. I'm confused. I'm struggling. See, and sometimes we think we're alone in this. And we're like, well, I don't know. I don't know that I feel like other people. It's like, well, how do you know you're not in their body? Maybe everybody's confused like you. And in some sense, we all at different stages of our life confused. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not sure the choices. But the enemy comes and says, bow your knee. With nothing to offer you, but God, who is faithful and sure, has plans formed of old for the purpose for which he has designed your life. Amen. Let's pray today. God, we love you so much. God, we worship you today and you alone. We thank you for your goodness. God, we pray that you forgive us for the areas of life that we've had anything but you at the center of our heart, the center of our worship and attention, affection. God, we love you so much. We exalt you in our lives. God, we accept who you have called us to be. Chosen race, holy priesthood, royal priesthood, a holy nation. We say yes to what you have called us to be, Lord. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, if you are here this morning before we go and you've never said yes to Jesus, never made Jesus the Lord of your life, everybody needs a moment where they say yes to Christ. So I'm gonna pray a prayer here in a second. I invite you to pray along with me. Everybody needs a starting place with God. The gospel, the good news is all about Jesus, that he came to live a sinless life, died on the cross. God raised him from the dead. And because all of that happened, God has made a way for us to have a relationship with himself. And all we have to do is say yes to that relationship. So if you're here and you've never done that, I invite you to pray along with me. Or maybe you're in a second category where you used to feel like you were close to God and maybe feel distant from him today. You know, God is not mad at you. God is inviting you close to himself again. So church, let's all bow our head and close our eyes and let's pray this prayer out loud, praying with somebody who might be praying it for the first time or somebody who's rededicating their life to Christ. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he lived a sinless life. He died on the cross and you raised him from the dead so I could know you. So today I say yes to that relationship. I say yes to your righteousness. God, I call you my Father. Jesus, I call you my Lord. God, I purpose to follow after your ways, and I turn from my own. I thank you for salvation today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Can we celebrate with everyone who made that decision today? Come on. Bible says that the angels rejoice with everybody who says yes to Jesus. So good. Can we thank Pastor Brent for that word this morning? Come on, so good. We honor the bringing of the word in this house. And I just want to encourage you, if you made that decision today to say yes to Jesus, or maybe you rededicated your life, on the seat pocket right in front of you, there's a connect card. You can just fill in your info, mark off the box that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. And we would love to just put some free resource for you for your new journey of faith. You can bring that connect card over to the info desk, or maybe you're new or newer this morning and you want to get more plugged into church, you can bring that same card to the info desk, and we have a team of people who would love to greet you and meet you and just celebrate with you on your beautiful birthday, spiritual birthdays. Amen. So good. And hey, just have a couple of announcements. Everybody say March 17th. We got water baptisms happening, and if you've never been water baptized, okay, just want to encourage you to sign up. We have room. We're going to be doing it at all three services, and I just want to encourage you, you can come talk to our team at the info desk if you have more questions or you want more information. And maybe you're shy, you're nervous. Like Pastor Brent said, I will bring you up out of the water. You don't have to worry. Okay, we'll make sure we bring you back up. But you can come to the info desk, come talk to our team. We would love to chat with you. And as well, I want to let you know, we still got church merch. Look at somebody, tell them, get your church merch. We have stuff as low as $5, so we're trying to get it gone. We're still selling Vision hoodies as well for this year. So if you are interested in getting some church merch, make sure you stop by the table. And I have one more important announcement for tonight. Everybody say 6 p.m., 1800 hours for those of you who speak in military time. It's 6 p.m. We have our worship and prayer night tonight. And if you've never come to one of these, I just want to encourage you, maybe invite your neighbor, invite your neighbor's neighbor. How many buddies are you going to bring? You're going to bring everybody. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, you better come tonight. It's going to be a great time of just extended prayer, praise, and worship. And maybe meet somebody new today. Tell them, hey, I'm going to see you tonight. And it's just going to be an incredible time where we can just go deeper and just worship our King of Kings. Amen. So it's going to be incredible. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Give somebody a high five. Tell them it was so good to see you today. At this time, I'm going to invite the prayer team to come to the front. And if you were hoping for somebody to pray with you or for you, we are a church family that loves to stand in faith with you. And maybe you want healing this morning. Maybe you're praying for, maybe you want to pray for restored relationships. Whatever it may be, our team really does love you and would just love to join with you in faith for whatever you're believing for. So church, we love you. We hope you have the most incredible day. We can't wait to see you later tonight at 6 p.m. Be blessed, and we will see you very soon. We love you.